Mm, marvellous stuff. This is Adam and Joe here on XFM. You just heard The Feeling by Sohn. Oh, no, I got it wrong. It's Sohn by The Feeling.
You idiot.
You idiot.
You're out of touch.
I'm out of time.
I know that it's the second single from the London-based quintet, signed to Island Records, self-described soft rock archaeologists. The band are out to make easy listening hip.
Oh,
well,
man.
Come on, haven't people been trying to do that for about 25 years?
To make easy listening hip?
Yeah. I mean, it was hip, wasn't it, about 8 years ago?
It was hip in the 70s.
Yeah, it can't come round again. What's the band called?
Sohn. No, The Feeling. I don't get that at all.
The feeling. You should give up trying to make easy listening hip.
Yeah.
Or give it a rest for another 5 or 6 years, then it'll be its turn again.
And before that, you heard Editors, as Zane Lowe would say, with Editors. Munich. And is Munich, would that be the theme tune to the
no,
film?
No, I went to see Munich this week.
Did you?
We can talk about it a bit later.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's going to be hard to get funny chat out of Munich because
really?
It's quite a depressing spectacle.
A bit dur.
A little bit dur. But no, it hasn't got anything to do with the song. It's
okay.
Just another of those happy coincidences.
Yeah. They should pop it in there, though.
They Sell should, over the closing
albums.
Credits.
You'll speak when you're spoken to.
You know, speaking of movie music, our Ditties in the Dock this week, towards the end of the second hour of the show, is going to be songs from John Landis films.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Man, I dug up the worst song I think has ever been played ever over the closing credits of any film I think is on a John Landis film.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. I wonder if it's the same one that I dug up. Well, I bent the rules a little bit because I was just having... I didn't bend the rules, technically, because it's just any old song that's been in a John Landis film. That's an awful lot of
and
songs.
And he's notorious for being a needle-drop director, right? Needle-drop being when
is
you
that
just...
what they call them?
Yeah, a needle-drop soundtrack is when you just have nothing but hit records on a film.
Right.
No incidental music.
He was one of the first people to do it, though. Him and...
he was on American Werewolf.
American Werewolf.
Do you think?
Yeah, was Bad Moon
first?
Rising.
Yeah.
It was certainly sort of stunt bit of music in
Before
there.
That, people used to write proper music, didn't they, for the whole film?
That's right, original scores.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen V for Vendetta?
Diegetic.
What's diegetic?
If you're a film... somewhere out there will be a media studies, film studies people. Diegetic is the term, isn't it? Diegetic and non-diegetic sound.
What's Cornish talking about?
It sounds like
ladies
some sort
gentlemen.
Of... bowel disease. Is that right? I think diegetic sound is sound within the film.
Are you making
non-diegetic?
These
no,
up
somebody texted in. If
head.
You're a film student, tell me that's right.
Film
diegetic
student.
And non-diegetic.
Have you
anyway.
Seen V for Vendetta?
No, not yet. I was going to go to the premiere on Wednesday, but it was too rainy.
Too rainy?
Yeah.
For
I don't want to go to the premiere.
No.
Too rainy.
Sorry, Connor, it's too rainy. Anyway, we've got lots to talk about this week. As well as those things, we've got TV shows that I've been watching. I've been watching a lot of TV this week.
It's important, man.
Yeah, we've
very good for your eyes. Makes them bigger.
Exactly. And
healthier.
It tends
stronger.
It tends to improve the brain and
yeah.
make you more intelligent,
yeah.
I find.
Ooh,
we've
yes.
also got a competition for you. Celebrity Regression Therapy.
Brilliant.
Very, very easy one this week.
And we got great prizes. This week, we've still got... Have we still got This Life box sets of Series 1? We've still got Ghost in the Shell Part 2, Innocence on DVD to give away. And our special prize this week... is a pass to an all-day horror film festival next weekend.
That's a good prize.
So if you hate the show and you love horror, it's the perfect prize because you needn't listen to us. You can just go and sit in the Prince Charles all day next Saturday and watch 12 hours of non-stop horror.
That's the kind of thing we used to do. Do you remember that?
Yeah, man. I might go.
Oh, that's
there's
exciting.
Good stuff on, and we'll tell you more about that in a second.
What a packed show! Anyway, as well as all that, we've got great music. And here's a bit more of it. This is The Killers.
What is he saying on the radio, in the background, at the end?
Oh, we talked about this before, didn't we?
Did we? It sounds very 80s, that one, doesn't it? Sounds like 80s Bowie.
Very mannered delivery, yeah, almost like psychedelic furs or something.
On the radio, in the background.
Hey, thanks to everybody who's texted in about diegetic and non-diegetic sound. This is a sophisticated programme for sophisticated people. Zane wouldn't have those kinds of words on his show, would he? He has trouble getting more than one syllable out. As for Justin Lee Collins, he's got more hair than brains!
He's a genius.
He is a genius.
Lee Collins.
Yeah, in a strange way. But yeah.
So what does it mean?
I was exactly right. Diegetic sound is sound that the characters in the film can hear. Non-diegetic sound is the sound that only we at home, in the cinema, can hear.
Right.
Or at home, because lots of movies are watched at home. Or on your mobile.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had a scene where the whole point of the scene was that the sound went from diegetic to non-diegetic.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
How would you do that?
Or the other way round.
Hey, yeah, man, there is a film that does that.
There must be loads.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a film that does it really cleverly. I tell you what it is as well. Oh, it's a French one. called Look At Me.
You've seen a French film?
Yeah, I saw a French film, man. Oh, it was tiring
kind of
on the
freak
eyes.
Are you?
No, they explained what they were saying in words on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it was wicked. It's called Look At Me. Oh, it's a brilliant film.
Is that a modern
French film? If you're sophisticated enough to be interested in diegetic and non-diegetic sound, then rent out Look At Me, and there's a brilliant use of diegetic and non-diegetic sound at the end. Anyway, come on, we're losing our less sophisticated listeners.
Well, okay, let's get them back by talking about some TV. Charlie Brooker, this is good TV. We often slag off bad TV on this show, but I very much enjoyed a couple of shows I watched this week. All sort of in one way or another, something to do with the media or celebrity or whatever. There was Charlie Brooker's show Screen Wipe.
Yeah, this is on BBC Four.
Now, Charlie Brooker might be familiar to some of you as one of the writers on Nathan Barley. He and Chris Morris wrote that show. He also writes a column in the Guardian Guide, doesn't he?
Yeah, called Screen Burn.
Screen Burn, right.
Yeah, but his show's called Screen Wipe.
Okay.
He's cornered the market in phrases beginning with screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wash is the only one he's got left.
Screen buttocks.
But yeah, he's got that one left. You're is right. He? That's down correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So his show is on BBC Four, which is a good channel, isn't it?
There's and again, a channel for thinking people.
That's
like
right.
This show.
This is the kind of BBC Four of XFM, as it were.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Good.
I just made a fart sound to keep less sophisticated people tuned in.
Excellent. So yeah, I'm recommending that if you haven't caught it already, you check out Charlie Brooker's show Screen Wipe, which is on Thursdays, BBC Four, 10:30 p.m. It gets repeated a fair bit, so you should check it out. But it's basically Charlie kind of ranting about various aspects of TV in rather an entertaining way, and illustrating a lot of his rants with clips and that kind of thing. Not dissimilar, in fact, to a lot of stuff that Victor Lewis Smith used to do on TV.
Yeah.
Also very entertainingly. But anyway, it's a good show. And did you didn't happen to see on Sky One a show called Celebrities on Heat?
No, I didn't happen to see that.
Julie Burchill.
No.
Why is Julie
Burchill? Oh, now, here we go. No, I read about this. This was Judy Burchill's analysis of Heat magazine and how it's contributed to culture in Britain and all that.
It's the latest in a very, very long line of shows that attempt to kind of add an intellectual gloss.
Yeah.
To basically being a TV version of Heat.
Hey, Heat's glossy enough. It can't take an intellectual gloss as well.
Oh, no, exactly.
It'll be sodden.
Basically, all these shows just want to have their cake and eat it.
Yeah.
So they present an hour-long diatribe from someone like Julie Burchill, who's frightening.
She's got a funny voice.
She's got a funny voice and she's frightening looking. And she basically just goes on about, you know, what's happened to modern culture. We're all obsessed with celebrities. And you just think, God, not this argument again. You know, you've heard it pretty much before. And then they wheel out the same people over and over again. The guy that edits Heat, Mark Frith. This TV critic, Brian Hyland, have you ever seen him? He sort of juts his chin out and he sort of seems to be staring into the air. He seems to be fascinated by something he's just seen in the air.
And, don't know about him.
Oh, man, I'm very familiar with all these people. But it's just, do you not reckon that there's only so many times you can do the same show about... why are people obsessed with celebrities?
Yeah.
Let's talk to some celebrities about it.
Are they not? No one is obsessed with celebrities anymore, are they? I don't think anyone cares anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Burchill was sort of saying, I love it, it's great, I can't stop reading these magazines, but why are we obsessed with them and they're so stupid? I just don't think that's really good enough.
No. my way out is simply not to watch it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of that.
Play one way out is to play Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter on the 360 non-stop for 48 hours.
Excellent. Well, let's play some more music right now. Here's a free play. This is the B-52s with Planet Claire. You're listening to Adam and Joe on XFM. And that's the B-52s with Planet Claire. This is Adam and Joe on XFM. We'll be back with competition time very shortly.
Oh, I haven't even got a chance to say anything.
Go on, say something quickly. It's ad time.
Nutties.
Nutties.
XFM. Love XFM.
Well, I'd say that they were Britain's biggest band right now.
They are called the Kaiser Chiefs.
The Kaiser Chiefs.
And that one was called Oh My God.
I can't believe it.
If you like them, you can buy it in a record shop.
Nice bit of facts there, Joe.
Thanks, man. This is Adam and Joe on XFM London's 104.9. We were talking earlier about diegetic and non-diegetic sound. And we've had quite a lot of texts from media students saying we're right, yeah, that I can't believe we're still banging on about this.
Come on.
It really hurts my mouth to say the words.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, basically there are good examples of it in Gross Point Blank, where John Cusack apparently goes into a shop. So he's outside the shop and the soundtrack's playing, you know, the non-diegetic sound is playing. He goes into the shop and the soundtrack becomes the pipe music in the shop. An example of switching from diegetic to non-diegetic.
Yeah, that must happen quite a lot. Yeah. And then a more overt satirical use of that would be when sometimes you hear a music stab and you assume it's non-diegetic.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans.
See, you're using it like a pro now. You didn't know what these words meant at the beginning of the show.
It's an amazing new world for me. Then the camera pans to the left and you see the orchestra actually in the room playing the soundtrack that you think.
You've got it, Buxton. Yeah. We've taught you something.
Thank you very much.
You've done one of your media modules.
Thank you very much. I was also taught something. He's not Brian Hyland. Brian Hyland sang Itsy Witsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. I just remembered. Ian Hyland is the TV critic who's always popping up in shows about celebrity to go on about how annoying celebrities are, and he's now more famous, I would say, than a lot of the irritating people he's talking about.
Yeah,
and a great deal more irritating too. Anyway,
thanks to Toby in London for correcting Adam on that.
Thanks very much. Always happy to be corrected.
Yeah,
it's very nearly competition time.
It's time for us to give something back.
To you,
the listeners.
In this case, DVDs. So if you'd like some DVDs, then...
Celebrity Regression coming up.
Exactly. What you said just there. Shall we play some more music? It's the Mighty Moz.
Yeah.
With You Have Killed Me! There's a brilliant article in Mojo magazine this month, interview with the Mighty Moz. If you're a Moz fan, you should check it out. You'll probably know that already if you're a Morrissey fan.
Speaking of... Oh, well, have you got more to say?
No, just that it was one of those rare occasions that you feel enriched by reading something in a magazine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a similar thing in Empire magazine, which I often slag off for just being a sort of DVD catalogue.
Yeah.
But this month, they've got a really thorough interview with Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny.
Excellent.
He's a grumpy, grumpy man, and he's got some funny things to say. I meant to bring it in, but I'll bring it in next week.
Oh, that would be good. Okay, I think it is...
Competition time. You could win a DVD or tickets to a show. You just never know. So sharpen up your brain and get ready to play.
And it's time to play Celebrity Regression. We haven't played this for a few weeks, so if you need refreshing, this is an actual medical psychotherapeutical experiment where we put Adam under, hypnotically, he enters the brain and films of a film star, simply by hearing him relive these films from the point of view of the star. You have to tell us who the star is and what the films are. Does that make sense?
I think that does make sense. Can I just say as well, before I go under...
Yeah, you say whatever you want, man, because you might never come back.
Oh, man. That after this, Joe, you're going to be selecting the next song we play. It's going to be free play.
Oh, okay? Is it? Okay,
yeah,
thanks.
So just so you can intro it while I'm under my deep hypnotic trance.
Okay.
Shall we get going?
Deep hypnotic trance. Okay, the number, you might want to make a note of this... 0871-222-1049. 0871-222-1049. And if you get this right, you can basically have your pick of any of the amazing prizes we've already talked about. Passes to the Horror Film Festival. Four, in fact. More tickets to see Pete and Dud Come Again. Ghost in the Shell DVDs, This Life DVDs. You know, whoever you are, whatever kind of wants you have. Are you fading me out, like at the Oscars?
No, sorry, I played the wrong bit of music.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, let's put Adam under now. So here we go. 0871-222-1049. The regression bell rings. Everyone take a deep breath. Just try and clear your minds, blank your minds. Whatever's hassling your brain. And we're going to regress Adam all the way back now. Into a better life, a more glamorous life, the life of somebody sexy, somebody clever, somebody successful. That's right, a film star. Someone better than you or I could ever be, however hard we try. We don't know whether it's a man or a woman, but Adam is now going to enter their body through their body passage.
He is now inside the star, and he is now inside their first film. When he opens his eyes, he will see with the star's eyes, and he will see what's happening in the film.
Go. Oh, I'm in a tiny kitchen in an apartment in New York. Normally, the kitchen is very neat. Everything just so, the way I like it. Couth, you know. But not today. Today, there is an uncouth man in my kitchen. A dirty man. A ciggy-smoking man. He drinks coffee. He eats meat. He's a dirty, coffee-drinking, ciggy-smoking meat man, and I wish he were gone. But I can't make him leave. If I did, my very apartment would be jeopardized. What's more, despite the fact that we are so very different, I can feel an attraction growing for this dirty man. And as soon as he gets even more dirty, this apartment will be filled with uncouth roughty.
So that's the first star in the first film. 0871 222 1049. You might have guessed it already. Let's put Adam into the second film of the same star. Adam, wake up, tell us what you can see.
Oh, I'm in a bar. A rather insalubrious place I've been brought to by a journalist. Unfortunately, he's not a brave, crusading, truth-uncovering journalist. He's a dirty journalist. A cynical journalist. A drunky journalist. Not like me at all. I'm couth. I love couth. I love the couth. In any way. You could call me a couth expert, which is why I'm here. Because the fellow that me and my dirty journalist companion are travelling with is supposed to be the king of couth. But hilariously, he's anything but. As we speak, he's there on the dance floor, with a beer and a ciggy, dancing lewdly with ladies in a raincoat. I don't call that couth. Hilarious!
That's film number two, 0871 222 1049. If you know which film star and which movies Adam's been regressed into, here comes the third and final film. Adam, wake up, tell us what you can see.
Oh, I'm in a big Scottish castle now, on a warm summer night. Flaming torches shine as hordes of incredibly posh people arrive to share my special day. No, I'm not Madonna, but I am comparably ludicrous. And no, I am not ludicrous either. I'm the romantic focus of this yarn. Despite the fact that I'm so flaky, I've just promised to spend the rest of my life with a fellow I met a few weeks ago, unless I meet someone with nicer hair and a better line and bumbling bullcrap. Oh, hello? What's the commotion over there? Someone's had a little too much to drink, maybe. Or died, maybe. No matter. Nothing's going to spoil my plot twist. I mean, wedding.
So there we go, listeners. Adam is now under until somebody calls 0871 222 1049 and correctly guesses the three movies he was witnessing and the star whose head he was occupying. 0871 222 1049. Call now, and in the meantime, we'll leave you with the latest news from Britain's housing estates, courtesy of Sway. This is Flow Fashion.
Decipher Productions presents
Sway.
Yeah, that was Sway with Flow Fashion. Adam is still regressed. After these adverts, we'll come back and hopefully bring him back to life.
XFM. This is XFM.
XFM.
Love music. Love music. Love XFM.
This is Adam and Joe on a Saturday afternoon. You join us in the midst of Adam's regression. He's been regressed into the mind and films of a very famous celebrity. And who's the lovely lady? What is on the telephone? What reckons she's got it right? It's Anthony.
Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
How are you, Kate?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. If you just, you know, keep your voice down and nice and calm, because you could damage Adam's tiny brain. So are you fairly confident?
I'm confident about the celebrity, but I was calling when Adam was being the second one, and I got a bit confused.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, you've sacrificed a complete answer, maybe, for getting in there first, which is a fair trade-off. So before you tell us the star, give us an idea of what films you think they are.
Well, the first film is Green Card. Dara Depardieu is the smoking meat eater.
Smoking meat eater in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm. The second film was where I got confused, because I phoned and I thought he said the bloke had a beard. And she plays a journalist in two films, I think, Michael and Groundhog Day.
You're
and
good.
Bloke, so I'm a really big Andy McDowell fan.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a little clue to who you think it might be.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't worry. That's just a little clue. Cluette. And what's the final film?
The third film was Four Weddings and a Funeral.
A classic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like the film.
You don't like it?
No.
Well, this is very interesting. Well, let's first of all have you say the name of the star and see if Adam wakes up.
Go. Hayley McDowell.
I was sort of half awake already, as Kate mentioned it earlier on, but very good deduction.
That's, you're like an Olympic athlete. If this was an Olympic sport, you would be representing Britain.
You sound like some kind of movie brainiac.
No, not at all. I just really like Hayley McDowell.
Do you? And why don't you like her in Four Weddings, standing in the rain? You think it's a terrible film?
I thought you would have thought that for
You'd
an Andy McDowell
out of the
fan,
country if you're saying that.
If you're, you know, because there can't be that.
The government
many.
Will fly you to Guantanamo Bay and torture you.
Isn't that? Is that not considered to be the peak of McDowell's career?
Well, she's very charming in it, but the film itself isn't very good.
Oh, shocking! What about Michael? You're not telling us Michael is better than Four Weddings and a Funeral, the film about the angel.
Again, she's very charming in it. The film isn't very good.
Yeah, but Green Card is a classic.
I just love that. Yeah,
it is a good film. It's directed by someone proper, isn't it? I always forget. Peter Weir. That's right. He's a proper director.
It is an enjoyable film. That's my favourite. Actually, no, Groundhog Day. Come on, you can't really beat Groundhog Day.
That's an eternal classic. That's a proper classic.
It's an absolute smash. Hey, what do you do for a living, Kate? You sound a bit brainier than...
I write children's books.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
What's your... are they published?
Yes.
I wonder if I've ever read any of them.
No, they're teen ones, so I don't think...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are they... There's a series of them?
No, actually, there's only one, but there's another one coming out later.
Really? What's it called, the one?
Tess in Love.
I'm going to get that.
No, don't.
Okay, why not? Why not? Are you threatened by Danny Minogue and Madonna? Isn't Danny Minogue?
Kylie Minogue.
No, is it Kylie? Yeah. I thought I read Danny's doing children's books as well.
Like the Impossible Princess.
Really?
Sooner or later, Danny does everything that Kylie does.
Mm. Yeah, she'll be
churning out the children's books. Listen, Kate, thanks so much for your call.
Hey, what about prizes? Do you want? What would you like to see? Did you hear all the prizes?
I might have been phoning.
We got so many; it's going to take ages. But This Life Complete Series 1, Ghost in the Shell.
That'd be fab, lovely.
There you go. This Life Series 1. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for calling, Kate, and well done for being so clever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And good luck with the books.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll be buying them for my children at some stage. There you go. That's Celebrity Regression Therapy for this week. It was quite easy, wasn't it?
I'm going to buy that and bring it in next week.
Yeah, go on then. We didn't get her surname. Will you find out?
Well, no, it'll be okay. As long as you've got the title of the book.
Okay, then.
Well done. That was very good regression. How did that feel, Adam? Obviously, because you were unconscious.
Felt good to get it out of my system.
Did
because,
it? Yeah, but what about the regression?
What? Thank you very much. That's
okay.
Very, very nice of you. Orson with No Tomorrow.
Tessa, who just won our competition. Your book sounds brilliant.
Kate, sorry.
The heroine of the book's called Tessa. It sounds great. The Amazon reviews are raving about it. 5 stars. A brilliant book. Wow, this book is just amazing. Follows the romance of 2 teens who might not look perfect, but their romance blossoms. This book is brilliant. Buy it and read it fast.
That's great, isn't it?
Wow.
We've got talented authors phoning us.
Yeah, Tessa in Love, there you
go. She's called Kate Levan. And what was your joke, Joe?
But her husband's called Joe LaTaxi.
Nice!
Ah,
fantastic. We're coming up towards the end of the first hour here on a Saturday afternoon at XFM. We've got so much more to talk about in the second hour.
Yeah, we're going to do a text competition and we're going to do Ditties in the Dock to name but 2 things. And we've still got loads of prizes to give away. Tickets to the Fright Fest horror event next Saturday. Tickets to see Pete and Dud Come Again. More DVDs, Ghost in the Shell DVDs. So stay tuned.
Absolutely, we'll be right back.
XFM. XFM. Music. Love XFM.
Someone clean the needle. Just remember to dust the records before we play them. See, that one's
that was
filthy.
My fault. I just dribbled a bit over it.
Well, come on.
Bit. That was Gnarls Barkley with Crazy. That's going to be a big hit, isn't it? Basically, that's got hit written all over it. Enormous.
We've been playing it for a few weeks. Hasn't it been a hit already?
No. It's not even
Has
out
Has it been
yet.
Released?
It's not out.
From the public purchases.
It's released on the 10th of April. So you've got to wait a few... weeks for that one.
Yeah, it's very soothing.
It's going to be a massive smash hit.
A massive smashive Yeah, just say yes.
Yes.
And push on. This is Adam and Joe on XFM, London's 104.9. It's time to launch a text competition because we've got so much stuff to give away.
This text comp... Oh, yeah, what have we still got to give away?
Well, we've still got tickets for the Fright Fest weekend. It's not really a weekender, but it's a whole day of horror films at the Prince Charles Cinema next Saturday. We've got laminated day passes. And that includes a preview of Eli Roth's new film, Hostel, a terribly horrible film about American sexual tourist backpackers who get their just desserts when they check into a hostel. I haven't finished writing the back of the video blurb yet.
I don't suppose it'll say American sexual tourist backpackers when the DVD does come out.
Maybe not. So that's exciting. They're showing lots of good stuff there. But we'll go into that in more detail later. What's the text competition, Adam?
Well, basically, this text competition is just an excuse for me to drop some names, or drop a name, but it's quite a massive name drop. And it's related in a way, I was inspired to tell this story by last week's Ditties in the Dock, which I won with Johnny Cash's Walk the Line.
Before we hear the story, can you tell us what the listeners should be thinking about in terms of their entries?
Or
are you going to come to that?
Yes. No, okay. I've sort of ruined the punchline like a complete jerk of my story because basically I had a close encounter as a youngster with Johnny Cash. And I was reminded of this by my mum the other day who said, "Have you seen that film Walk the Line?" And I said, "No, I have no intention of going to see that film Walk the Line." She said, "Oh, it's very good. And do you remember when you met Johnny Cash?" And I said, "What are you talking about, Mum?" And she said, "When you were 10, apparently when I was 10 years old, we were in Barbados having a family holiday, exciting family holiday. And
posh
holiday, posh. Yeah, very nice. And one morning I said to my mum, apparently, I've got to go down to..." This sounds a little bit creepy, incidentally, this story, but I don't think you should worry because Johnny Cash is a famous and salubrious man when he was alive. But I said, "Mum, I've made a new friend and I've got to go and meet him down by the on the beach." And she said, "Really? You've made a new friend? What kind of friend?" And I said, "He's a really nice man and he said that I should come down. We're going to go on his Lilo and we're going to go snorkeling." So obviously a little alarmed by that, my mum followed me down to the beach, came down with me, and discovered that the friend I had made the previous day on the beach was Johnny Cash, the Man in Black.
No.
Yeah, this was when I was 10 years old, so that would have been 1980s, thereabouts. And Johnny Cash was there with his son, who was around about the same age as me. So I don't know, I'm not a Johnny Cash expert, I don't know if... Obviously, if he doesn't have a son the same age as me, then my story is not going to hold much water. But if someone could do the fact-checking for me, I'd appreciate it.
Xanthi, fact-check.
But that's pretty good, isn't it? Don't you think? Assuming the story is true, which I have every reason to believe it is, because my mum swears it's true.
We want people to text in 83XFM with very, very, very famous people they met when they were kids.
Because I remember the bloke. I mean, I don't remember obviously being impressed by him being Johnny Cash because I wouldn't know who he was. Yeah. But I remember just snorkeling with this really nice American man who was really friendly and good fun and very sort of avuncular and fatherly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his son, who was a nice guy as well. So,
Famous people you met when you were tiny. Who's got the best genuine story? How are we going to fact check these things?
I don't know. We just got to trust people.
If you can come up with a really good lie.
But it's got to be an A-list. It's got to be an encounter.
So my Dave Prowse story wouldn't count.
Dave Prowse...
When I won that magpie competition and went to Thames at Teddington and met Dave Prowse and Tommy Cooper and the Rainbow Team...
No, that would not count. That's a good example
of
something.
But he's the Green Cross Code Man and Darth Vader. That's two B-listers.
He's not A-list. It doesn't.
Combined.
Two B's does not make an A. I'm sorry, we've got to be brutal about this. It's got to be an absolute legend.
MC Hammer?
No.
He visited the school down the road from me in Stockwell.
And someone like... Here's an example of a really good celebrity encounter, which would not count, I don't think. Chuck D, your friend Alan, met Chuck D, didn't he?
Yeah, he did run into Chuck D. I met Kid Creole in the foyer of
the
Warner West End.
None.
Kid Creole and the Coconuts. What
Chuck
about
D
one of my relatives
count,
met
Kid
Hitler?
Creole, definitely.
One of my relatives met Hitler.
Really?
There's a photo of one of my distant relatives meeting Hitler before anyone knew he was evil. Seriously.
Before anyone knew he was evil.
Yeah.
And what was he just like with Hitler with his arm around him?
It's similar historically meeting Tony Blair now. In the future, they'll go, "My God, you met Tony Blair."
Before anyway, everyone.
The most evil war criminal in the world.
I don't think it's exactly the same.
A little bit.
But you see, the encounter with Hitler would count.
That would count, but it wasn't me, you see. It was a very ancient relative.
That's an encounter with the A-list. So we're being brutal about it.
Would you say Hitler was an A-lister?
I would say Hitler, definitely, in his time.
What sort of celebrity scale is this?
The scale of evil.
Yeah.
Anyway, so get texting now. We want to hear about your encounters with the A-list. It's free play time again, and here's a nugget from the 80s.
Hey, sorry, Adam, to interrupt you, but the best text, we'll call you up and get you to tell us the anecdote live on the air.
So it's important that you are able to speak. Incidentally, Xanthi just fact-checked my story, and it checks out. John Carter is the son of John Carter, right, yes, is the son of Johnny Cash, who would have been around about the same age as me at that point. Probably still is around about the same age as me, if that was the case. Anyway, back to the free play. This is Flash in the Pan. That's Flash and the Pan, not Flash in the Pan, you see. And I think they were from Australia. That's a song called Waiting for a Train, which was a hit in the early 80s. It's Adam and Joe here on XFM. Now, our text competition is encounters with the A-list. Encounters with
childhood
A-list.
Encounters.
So, any time, doesn't matter.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought it was specifically childhood.
Doesn't have to be childhood.
The fact that it was when you were so young you didn't really know the significance of the event.
That would be fine, but it's any kind of encounter with the A-list. I don't think we should limit it that much.
I think we might just get, I met Jack Black outside a Tenacious D concert.
Well, we tried to explain the fact that wouldn't really count. Mm. Even though Jack Black is technically an A-lister now, I mean, we're talking about massive legendary figures, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Someone like,
I
met Alfred Hitchcock, someone like that.
Okay, listen,
so
Adam, I'm going to read you some of the famous names.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the story around them, and you've got to tell me whether you want to hear them.
Yeah, all right then.
Okay, I'm just trying to look for proper stories.
Let me give you another example of a close encounter with the A-list that I witnessed. Didn't really have it myself, but this girl I was going out with, Karen, who was a waitress at this restaurant I worked at, she got to dance with Dustin Hoffman, because Dustin Hoffman came into the restaurant, and it was a kind of crazy, annoying 50s theme restaurant that I used to work at. I was the DJ there. I used to play a lot of crazy, annoying 50s music. And while I was playing some of this music, Dustin Hoffman got up and started dancing with Karen, my girlfriend, on her roller skates. And it was pretty amazing. He was a really good dancer, and he was whirling her around and dipping her and twirling her. And obviously...
Doesn't he dance in Rain Man?
I don't think he does that
he
much
does.
Dancing.
He dances with Tom Cruise at the very end of the film, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
maybe,
and it's
maybe
a bit,
he does.
It's sort of special dancing.
But it was brilliant, though, and he was so charming. He left a brilliant tip. There was no question of me being jealous, because you just thought, encounter with the A-list.
He is lovely. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've chatted to him for 20 minutes or so.
Oh, you interviewed him for your Radio 4
show? He was really nice, yeah.
Okay, there you go. That's an encounter with the A-list. Got me? So what kind of things have you got, Joe?
So here we go. This is what we've got. I'm just pausing for effect, okay? It doesn't mean that I'm having trouble reading the text.
You're not going to...
What about Slash from Guns N' Roses? Does he count?
But a borderline, I would say.
Do you want to hear the Slash anecdote?
Go on, then.
I spoke to Slash on the phone when I was 12, and he sent of a T-shirt. Well, that must be me.
Yes.
It's a predictive mistake. Oh, no, the texts have refreshed. But anyway, he sent this person a picture of himself in the swimming pool and a T-shirt.
Why? Can I just go on tangentially a slightly different subject for a second?
Yeah.
Why does the predictive texting suggest of rather than me? Surely me
is another show,
much
man.
More useful.
That's
anyway,
another show.
Okay.
That's a good question. How's that Slash thing? React to the Slash thing.
Why was Slash on the phone? Oh, we need a bit more background than that.
Well, if you're intrigued, we can get this person on. That's from Farmer in Ascot. Farmer? Are you a farmer? Or are you called Farmer? Here's another one. Whilst on holiday in Tunisia, I went scuba diving with Jim Carver from The Bill.
No.
Says Chris in Croydon. Which one's that? Is that Sergeant Big Nose?
Don't know.
Because he's the only A-lister in The Bill, Sergeant Big Nose.
It by no means counts.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes, that does count.
Okay, here we go. Emma in Edgware. I met Jamie Lee Curtis when I was a baby. My mum said she fell in love with me and wanted to take me home.
Wow. That's pretty good. That is good.
So that could be winner Patrick Swayze. A-list?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Even though he's in one of those orange ads?
I don't care. He's in Roadhouse.
Okay, here we go. Dad left me outside a toilet while he went off into the theatre. Patrick Swayze came up to me to ask if I was okay and waited with me till Dad came back. I was eight-ish.
Classic Swayze.
Classic Swayze story.
That's exactly how you'd expect him to behave.
That guy had the time of his life.
Hey!
Have a Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane, Borderline.
Borderline. Okay, do you want to skip it then?
Yes.
You don't want to hear that's a good story.
Have you got some... Come on then, let's
Robbie
have
Coltrane, when I was about five, offered me some jelly beans, but I was scared because he was so big. I hid behind my mum, said Amy in Camberwell.
Oh.
Hello, Amy in Camberwell. Hello, Camberwell as well. I live in Camberwell.
Come on, have you, you've got to have...
Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli, that certainly counts.
Yeah, I met Liza Minnelli when I was four on holiday in Venice in 1984. Apparently, I have no memories of this. I was in the pushchair. That's from Michael Skye. Any good? What about the Queen? Is she an A-lister?
She is, but if it's like I shook hands with the Queen at a garden fete, that's no good.
I think that's what we got there.
Okay. Yeah.
Jim Rockford, Dave Benson Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips does not
count.
In
the world of CITV, he's A-list. Chris Tarrant.
Tarrant doesn't really count.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No.
Cheggers.
Cheggers. Come on.
Gary Glitter.
No, that's revolting and boring.
Well, before he was revolting and boring. Helen
Mirren.
He
was always revolting and
Helen
boring.
Helen Mirren.
Borderline.
Oh, man, we're not doing very well. Angelina Jolie. Jolie.
What's that encounter?
I was shopping for a new helmet in a bike warehouse in Biggin Hill. And who was there with her stunt coordinator but Angelina Jolie? We had a brief discussion about the helmets.
What?
And apart from the fact that she was very small, as was your helmet, probably.
Come on.
It was completely unremarkable, says Joe in Bexley. That's quite a good one.
That's okay. Put Joe on the list, on the short list.
Okay, can we get Joe on the short list, please, Xanthi?
Right, listen, I think we should play some adverts and give people a bit more of a chance to get their heads together. A-list, come on, think A-list. Dave Benson Phillips is not on the A-list, all right? Yeah. He should be, obviously, that's taken as read, but currently he's not.
Hang on, David Bowie changed my nappy.
That's good.
We've got to hear that one.
Well, let's...
From A. Brown.
Let's save it. Okay, come on. We can come back to these. We'll be back shortly.
XFM.
Love music.
Love music.
Love music.
FM.
I would have gone for a snappy ending. They decided to go with a fade. That was the White Stripes with My Doorbell. You're listening to Adam and Joe on XFM. And we are going to pretty much wrap up our text competition now.
It's going to be tricky to wrap up, Adam, because the answers are kind of raining in, lots of them.
Really?
Is that the right word? Raining?
Raining's perfect. Raining in like rain.
And listen, just before we played that record on those adverts, we were talking about somebody who'd had his nappy changed by David Bowie. Thin White Duke, changing the nappy.
You've done a bit of a stinky.
Whoa, whoa. Your nappy is so full of poo-poo. Do we have the man whose nappy was changed on the line? What's his name?
He's called Aeneas Brown.
Hello, Aeneas.
Hello, Aeneas.
Isn't
how are you doing?
Amazing, that name.
It is. It's a brilliant name. But listen, thank you for holding on for so long. And we hear you're hungover.
A very horrible hangover. Searingly bad.
What were you, sound bad.
What were you doing last night?
Oh, I just went to a gig in Highgate and then just came back to my girlfriend's place.
And had your nappy changed by David Bowie?
No.
You're one of these adult babies.
It's still a weekly occurrence. It's just a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
So, Aeneas, how do you know about this?
Well, my mum was at college with a woman who went out with him just before he became really big with Space Oddity.
Oh, yeah.
And when I think he was still doing mime at the time.
It wasn't Hermione Farthingale, was it?
I don't know. Who's that?
Well, that's the person that he was going out with at that stage of his career.
Oh, I don't know. No, some other bint that my mum was at college with. And then she met up with her some years later. She hadn't seen her for a while. And she just introduced him very casually as, "This is my boyfriend, David."
Yeah.
I think it was Hermione Farthingale.
Okay.
David
probably had lots of girlfriends in them days.
Well, I don't think he was living in some place out in the country.
And boyfriends.
My mum and her friend went out for a kind of wander in the grounds or the garden or whatever. And they left me with David. And apparently, yes, I soiled myself in some manner. I don't know what that
is. Because you were so excited, I would imagine.
Obviously, yes. In the presence of greatness. And he just, you know, being a kind of advanced specimen of the male species of the time.
That's right.
He went ahead and did the honours.
What would he have? What would he have looked like? So we can picture it at that point. Did he have his big?
I imagine him wearing a nappy.
You imagine him wearing a
nappy? Yes, you know, like in that sort of mime thing, you know, with his kind of.
Well, he wore a nappy for, as the Elephant Man, didn't he? But that was much later in his career when he was on the stage. What would he have looked like, Adam, at that point?
Well, I'm not sure about the exact dates because he changed his hair quite a lot. But it would have either been a very curly mop with a kind of Afghan coat that he was wearing.
Yes, very pretty.
Or it could have been the cusp of the Hunky Dory cover with the long, flowing hair.
With the sort of spiky at the top and then the sort of giant mullet.
No, just straight ahead lady
very
hair.
Straight, he would have been, oh, it would have been, what an amazing thing to have happened.
So was
I've
your...
Got, I've got millions of them. I've got millions of these kind of ridiculous claims to
find. What, stars who changed your nappy?
Was your mum...
Ian Dury said that I was a bloody handsome bastard.
There you go, that's not bad.
When did he say that?
Am I allowed to say bloody?
Well, you've done it now. Yeah,
right,
well...
I've done it twice.
I think it's all right.
It's old, it's classic British.
PG-13. My girlfriend's dad wrote the Smurfs song.
No.
Yeah.
Has he gone into hiding? Has he gone into hiding?
No, he lives in Hamburg, so...
Does he? Well, that explains the whole thing.
That's amazing. Is he a millionaire now, like the...
Quite rich. He wrote, like, Eurovision Song Contest entries for Luxembourg, and he wrote all of Baccarat's hits as well, like Yes Sir, I Can Boogie.
Really?
But you say all of them. Surely that was Baccarat's only hit.
No, they had Sorry, I'm a Lady as well.
Hey, listen, what... What prize would you like to... to win
today. Can I have that pass for the horror movie?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good day. And I think if anybody else wants to go, there are still tickets on sale. They're showing Death Trance, which is an Asian samurai slasher.
Oh, yeah.
With the action choreography done by Ruhei Kitamura, who made Versus, Wicker Man, Mortuary, Rika, Hostel, and Theatre of Blood. So that'll be great.
Theatre of Blood?
Yeah, it's a new print of the old classic.
Oh, right, okay. It was on TV the other day.
There you go. Okay. And yes, can I just ask quickly, so was your mum like a kind of arty hippie person?
Oh, yeah. She went to, what was it, the art school out in Ealing.
Yeah.
It's my mum who's really got all the claims to fame. She's really got, like, ridiculous ones.
Does she still hang out with these types of people?
No, not really.
Right. And what do you do for a living?
Sorry to say. I'm an artist.
You're an artist, I can tell.
His voice trembling. Hey, listen, we should, because there are loads of other texts, so I just want to run a couple of these by you, Adam.
Absolutely. But thank you very much indeed for calling in. That was a fantastic story, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. Have a good weekend.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's a great show, guys.
Hey, thanks
a lot,
man.
Thanks for listening.
The music's generally rubbish. Hey, you're just great, you know.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Rambling in a kind of hungover reverie there. Thanks so much for your call.
It seems to me that our listeners are so influential and well-connected that if we all gang together, we could do something. I don't know, maybe just get pissed.
We could take over a tiny corner of the world.
Yeah. So do you want to hear one or two others? Because we've got literally millions.
Well,
I'll
tell you what, let's play a little bit more music, tie up the text competition, introduce Ditties in the Dark, and that's the end of the show pretty much. We've still got 25 more minutes of excitement to go. But right now, here is a song by the Zootons. That's the Zootons, the first single to be taken from their second album, which will be out in about a month or so. And that was called Why Won't You Give Me Your Love? Probably because you keep shouting at me in that obnoxious way. So, Joe, have you got any other bits of celebrity A-list encounters there?
The sort of pick of the remaining bunch, and thank you to everybody who texted in. This comes from, man, this is about four texts long, but I met George Lucas and the Danish King while working at the Eurostar terminal in Waterloo. That's pretty good. George Lucas and a king, the King of Denmark.
Even though he wouldn't count as an A-lister, but yeah, that's good.
The Danish king was very nice and refused to let me carry his bag. Lucas was a right S**T and refused to speak to me directly and asked me to make sure nobody walked in front of him while he walked through the departure lounge. That's from Tim in Harrow.
What was Tim doing there? Was he working
there? He was just working at Eurostar, yeah.
Oh, right, there you go.
Bad George Lucas.
So what? He didn't speak to him directly. Did he speak to him through the Danish king?
No, I've heard stories that Gwyneth Paltrow does that as well. If you're working with Gwyneth and she... She just won't have anybody talk to her directly. You have to talk to her via her assistant, even if you're standing right next to her.
Right.
Allegedly.
Could you talk to a wall and have the sound bounce off the wall and then hit her?
You'd probably get into trouble.
Really?
Do you want to hear a quick...
That's too direct.
Annie Lennox one.
Go on, then.
I met Annie Lennox on a bridge in Moscow in the freezing cold while she was promoting Greenpeace. I gave her a rose, but the head fell off.
That's kind of brilliant and kind of pathetic at the same time. Yeah. So for two people who don't care about celebrity, as we claimed at the beginning of the show,
we've
been milking it for about 40 minutes now. Anyway, that's the end of that text competition. Very enjoyable. Thanks to everyone who texted in. And thanks a lot to Aeneas again for his enjoyable Bowie nappy-changing anecdote. Now it's time... for Ditties in the Dock. It's the part of the show where myself and Joe Cornish battle it out to decide who will be... the person to play the last free player for 2 hours here. And this week, it's all about John Landis movies and songs that have appeared in them.
Thanks.
Here you go. Do you want to go first or shall I go?
Well, I think you should go first because I've got a choice of two tracks, one very stupid and one very serious. And what I choose will depend on what you choose, Adam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Why not?
Because you can't do that. You've got to plump
I'm doing your... it!
Oh, no. Okay, well, I'm going to go for a fairly obvious one, but it's an album that popped up on the old iPod recently and certainly enjoyed hearing it on random play. Blues Brothers, original soundtrack. Now, this was something that we were very into when we were teens, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's your first port of call for non-threatening soul music, isn't it? Non-threatening R&B. Before you get into the proper stuff, you get into the silly stuff, which is a lot of which appears on the Blues Brothers soundtrack album. And it's, you know, when I say silly, it's brilliant stuff. It's amazing.
There's a sort of thin line between the Blues Brothers and, say, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, isn't there? In terms of an easy way for students to get very drunk and have a complete look.
I would say that the music on the Blues Brothers soundtrack is considerably superior.
I would agree. But you know what I mean? It provides you with a costume, music, and a themed way to drink.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's a killer combo in the world of film and entertainment.
Definitely. Anyway, I'll cut this short. Basically, I want you to vote for... Ray Charles singing Shake a Tail Feather, probably the most superior version of that song, which appears on the Blues Brothers original soundtrack. It's amazing, an absolute smash, a brilliant scene as well, where they go to Ray's music shop and he just launches into Shake a Tail Feather. It's a peach. I can't really say enough good things about it. I want you to vote for Ray Charles, Shake a Tail Feather from Blues Brothers. Joe, what are you going for?
Yeah, we should just remind people that all five callers who get on air will win a fantastic competition out of our amazing prize, I mean, out of our amazing lineup of prizes. I'm going for something really awful.
Right.
Something so terrible. Some of our older listeners or stupider listeners might remember a John Landis film called Spies Like Us.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. Not Landis's greatest moment, but quite a good 80s relic. And they released a single that they hoped would chart with the theme of the movie. It was called Spies Like Us, and it was sung by Paul McCartney and Joey Ramone.
Was it
from
really?
The Ramones. And it is the worst piece of crap I've ever heard. It's got to be the worst McCartney song ever recorded. But it's awful in quite a spectacular and entertaining way. So I want you to vote for... Spies Like Us by McCartney and Joey Ramone. It probably hasn't been played on the radio since 1984, whenever that movie came out.
Yeah.
It is like someone's destroying a synthesizer with a double-barreled shotgun in Chislehurst Caves with Paul McCartney and Joey Ramone.
Big
and there's
echoey drum sounds.
Terrible chanting in it. It's appalling. So call... no, don't call. What? Yeah, call 0871-222-1049 and vote for Spies Like Us or Shake a Tail Feather. All five callers who get on air will win a fantastic prize. Please call now.
XFM. This is XFM.
This is XFM.
Is
there thing I do not know? The road I'm taking.
Music. Love XFM.
Come on, they've got enough royalties already.
Shall I tell you the end?
Of what?
Of this song.
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's the same, and then it ends.
Does it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And that's how it ends.
That's it's, Coldplay.
It's a really good ending. Sorry if I spoiled the ending for anyone who hasn't heard that before.
Codge plodge.
Come on, I like them. I like the Mighty Coldplay, and I think that's a fine song. And we're only fading out of it early because we've got to resolve Ditties in the Dock.
Yes, indeed. This week, it is a battle royale between Ray Charles with Shake a Tail Feather and Paul McCartney with Spies Like Us, the unifying element being they're both songs used in John Landis films.
Yeah. Here we go. We've got Heather on the line. Hello, Heather.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm back for my weekly dose of mockery.
have we spoken to you before, have we?
Quite a few times.
Hey.
Oh, okay. And what defines you in our minds, Heather? What is it that you do?
What is it that I do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a graphic design student, but I don't think you knew that before.
Oh, we're finding out more about
her. Heather's just got a very sexy voice. I think that's what defines her in our minds.
Yes.
And every time she calls in, she's at a differing level of sexiness. Sometimes gravelly, sometimes just tired from an exhausting night.
Playfully perky.
Playfully perky, yeah. This is Heather, you know, wide awake. So, Heather, what are you voting for? Is it going to be Shake a Tail Feather or Spies Like Us?
Spies Like Us.
You fool!
You lunatic!
Haven't we told you it's the worst song ever recorded?
She was seduced by your pitch.
Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't.
It's got some funny bits. It's a very funny bit where Chevy Chase cheats in a spy exam at the beginning. And he's got all the stuff written on the inside of his glasses and stuff. It's quite good. Heather, I love you for so many reasons now. Thanks for calling. What prize would you like? Would you like This Life on account of the fact that you're a girl?
I watched This Life all this week. It was fantastic.
Oh, I love you're a girl. That would be great. I love it.
Okay. Copy This Life to Heather, please, Xanthi.
Thanks very much for your call, Heather. Have a great weekend. Joe, how are you doing?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What are you up to this weekend?
Not a lot. Nothing, in fact.
Go into more detail.
Just going to have a bit of a veg out weekend, I think.
Yeah. Veg out? What? Broccoli? Carrots?
Yeah, broccoli, bit of carrots.
Yeah.
Five a day.
Sounds good, man. I like broccoli.
What are you going to be watching on telly tonight, then, Joe?
I don't know. Juice Bigelow, I've just got out, so I'm upset.
Well done. Well, that's going to be quite a challenge.
Have you never seen Juice Bigelow?
No, I haven't.
It's not bad.
It's good. Lower your expectations to the floor and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
It's wonderful. All right. I should do that.
What are you voting for, Joe? Is it going to be Shake a Tail Feather or Spies Like Us?
I'd like to shake my tail feather.
Hey, well done. Very democratic.
It is an amazingly powerful blast of soul power from the mighty Ray Charles. Thank you very much indeed for your call, Joe.
Hey, what prize, Joe, would you like? Maybe because you're a bloke ghost in the shell on DVD.
Yes, sounds wonderful.
There you go. There we go. Thanks for calling, Joe. Hello, Rory.
Hello.
Hello, Rory.
Hi, guys.
You sound slightly fed up with yourself and us.
I'm not fed up in the slightest.
Aren't you good? Very good.
And I'm very well, thank you.
What are you up to today? What are you going to be doing for the rest of the day?
I'm currently just doing some Japanese homework.
Japanese homework?
Konnichiwa.
Are you some kind of...
Arigato gozaimashita. Hai. Domo. Ohayo. Oh, man. How many words did we know when we were in Japan, Adam? Adam and I learned about 10 words of Japan when we were there.
That was impressive. I wish I could remember one.
Jo des. Adam des. Hey, domo.
Genki desu ka?
Genki desu ka, yeah, man. I love Japan and Japanese. Well done, that must be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you been to Japan?
Yeah, I went about a year and a half ago.
Oh, I want to go back
again for a year as part of my university.
You're a lucky man. So what are you voting for?
I'm going to go for Spies Like Us.
You're a lunatic. You can go back to Japan for all I care. I love our listeners.
2-1 to the worst theme tune ever recorded. It's going to sound so good on XFM as well.
Would you like Ghost in the Shell or This Life?
I'll go with Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
Oh, is there any horror
parts
left?
Oh, I'm afraid not. We gave those away earlier to our David Bowie nappy man.
Ghost in the Shell.
Okay, Ghost
Sorry
in the Shell.
About that, Rory.
On its way to you. Thanks a lot for your call, Rory. Okay, we better speed this up now. Greg, are you there? Greg?
Hello?
Hello, Greg.
Yes?
Are you all right? Are you on some sort of medication?
No.
You're using some sort of a funny voice, though, Greg.
Greg, you sound dangerously like a man who's just about to say a four-letter word.
You sound dangerously.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, no.
Okay, cool.
I'm just so into this competition.
Okay, you're a cool customer.
Hey, you're going to vote for Spies Like Us, please. Aren't you?
I'm sorry, why would anyone in their right mind do that?
Yeah, exactly.
You're American and you enjoy...
You might be Canadian.
Pop culture, Canadian, yeah, whatever. What are you?
Well, you see, I actually couldn't be bothered to text in, but I was going to text in a Ray Charles story. And
and so I have to vote for Ray Charles.
Okay, fantastic. You know who you sound like, Greg? Is, what's he called? We had him in Celebrity Regression the other day. You know, the guy from Willard.
No.
What's his name?
What's
the
Willard?
Actor?
Oh, Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover.
Yeah,
you
come
sound
on,
we
got
like...
4 minutes. We got a race. Thanks so much for calling in, Greg.
Thanks.
So,
cool.
So that's, what is that? Two all?
That's two all.
That's
yeah.
amazing. This is a brilliant edition of Ditches in the Dock. So, Paul, are happened. You there?
Yes, I am.
So you realise this is one of the most important votes since a very important vote, the last one. Hello?
I'm so chuffed that I'm going to make the decision.
Now, Paul, what we want you to do, okay, is we want you to say the following words. I am going to vote for, and then pause, count to five in your head, and then tell us what you're going to vote for.
It's all about the pause. It's all about the suspense. Go.
Okay, go.
Okay, guys, I'm going to vote for... Some lovely tat to end the show. Spies like us.
You madman. I love you, Paul. Yay!
Thank you
what
very
a
much
clever
indeed.
Man. Our listeners are brilliant. The worst song ever recorded.
You can't argue with a Beatle and a Ramon.
Well, unless they're doing this.
Thanks very much for your call, Paul. Thanks to everyone who called in. We'll leave you with this terrible, terrible night.
Thank you, Jesus. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
So what's all of us? There ain't no